Blog Talk Radio. Wake up, yeah, wake up, yeah, wake up, yeah, wake up, yeah, 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 yeah.
It don't matter,
yeah, yeah,
what race, creed, or color, everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead.
For those of you that are new, we are here to educate and inform our voting listeners of current news and trends running on the political front that impacts their lives by having open conversation and sharing of information. We want to filter out the noise in this era of information overload with all those 30-second sound bites that unfairly represent the truth and thereby misleading the general public. And our main goal is to start a grassroots movement to get the public to act in the upcoming elections, to make informed decisions, and elect those that will truly have the best interests of the country and nation at heart, not those of special interests, big business, signing pledges that impede the spirit of cooperation. We believe this will help to elect government officials that will set the country back on a reasonable path to prosperity and be a leader for the rest of the world. The goal, like I said, is to get President Obama reelected and to take back the House and maintain control of the Senate. It's a call to action, as we need to fight back before Republicans completely hand over the government to corporations while setting labor back 100 years. We have to mobilize an army of Democratic, independent, and desperate Republican voters to reverse and stop the current direction of the Republican Party and the Tea Partiers. This show and our success will only be possible with your input, your ideas, and your action. This is a vehicle for us to discuss and share information that doesn't always make the mainstream media. So please, don't be afraid to chime in the conversation. You have information or ideas or a totally different perspective that haven't been considered, I ask that you would share with us and all those that are listening. Our call-in number is 646-378-0763 and press 1 in order to speak. We've got several topics to talk about this week. We've seen some successes in regards to the Occupy movement. We've seen some major events in regard to Herman Cain and his campaign. Some things have come out on Mitt Romney. Some share from suggestions I've gotten from listeners from previous shows. And one listener, in fact, asked me to read a letter that he wrote. And I will do that as we go through the show. So first off, Bank of America, has reversed its decision to charge the $5 monthly fee for the use of debit cards. So I would chalk that up as a victory to the people and to the Occupy movement that basically sent the message to Bank of America, we will no longer tolerate this abuse by large banks or banks that just think they can do whatever, corporations that just think they can do whatever they feel like mandating to consumers. I would caution everyone that just because they've rethought and reversed their decision on the $5 debit card fee, that that's not necessarily an answer in which to stop closing those accounts and moving to other institutions of finance, such as credit unions, trade, and institutions of that nature, where basically you have free checking and free access to your money, usually 24/7. So I would suggest we keep sending the message, not only to Bank of America, but to Citibank and other large banking institutions around the country. It's time that we continue to let them know we won't tolerate it anymore. So let's keep up the support for the Occupy movement. The hypocrisy of the Republican Party never ceases to amaze me. You know, all the while they are criticizing and saying the president's stimulus won't do anything to create jobs, the three ringleaders of the GOP, Boehner, Cantor, and Ryan, along with nine other Republicans, all wrote letters requesting pork barrel funding from the stimulus via various government agencies for projects in their states, including high-speed rail. But they don't want to pass the American Jobs Act. So pay for them to help their constituents so they can try to keep their jobs, but screw everybody else. Well, sorry about that, but it's too late, and you all have to go. We need to continue the rallying cry and calling in to congressmen and congresswomen's offices and Senate offices to let them know that they need to pass the American Jobs Act. They can't just cry for money for their sections or their constituents and leave the rest of the country abandoned and hopeless. So we need to pass the Jobs Act. I stated before on previous shows, if you'll just take a few minutes out of your day every day, because the squeaky wheel gets the grease, take 5 minutes out of your day every day to call your congressman and your senator and request that they pass the American Jobs Act. President Obama is doing all that he can via executive orders, but that doesn't necessarily give him the authority for funding the project that he wants to try to put underway via these executive orders. He still has to work through Congress in order to be able to do that. So whatever funding is in the Treasury right now, he may be able to use to get some of these projects started, but they still need to pass the America's Jobs Act. So let's keep pressing onward and upward. The big story right now is involving Herman Cain and the sexual harassment, and it's just not going to go away anytime soon. Now a third woman has come forward, and she didn't take a settlement or an agreement, and has stated that he invited her to his corporate apartment. Well, it looks like his fake campaign is now on the ropes. Even though Republicans are rallying around him, I think once the rest of the story comes out, he'll lose that support and his bid for the Republican nomination for president. Not only that, but an even bigger story involving improper campaign financing has been kept out of the news for the most part because of sexual harassment. And with the Iowa primaries right around the corner, many didn't realize that he was also on the board of directors for Whirlpool and ordered the shutdown of the plant in Iowa, and those jobs were sent overseas. Soon the other shoe will drop, and I guess he'll get his wake-up call at that time. Let's see. I have a caller on that wants to speak. I'll bring... Hello, caller.
Hello?
Last 417-37. How are you today?
Hey, Jazz. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
It's Pam from Austin, Texas.
Yes, how you doing, Pam? I recognize the voice.
Okay. We're weathering Rick Perry, doing a lot of laughing here in Austin is what I can say. I actually just dialed in and was waiting for you to speak to Alex about Alex.
I'm going to and got a couple other things I wanted to talk to.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
Thank
so
you
when
for,
you
yeah, and
when
I
you
thank
get to that, I'll chime in.
No problem. And I want to thank you for the suggestion. I know you raised the question last week, and we talked about it a little bit, not necessarily in depth. So I did go back and do some more research. I had already done some research a while back and some information I had been put out on Facebook. So I went back and refreshed my memory, and we can go into some of that so everybody can get an understanding of exactly what ALEC is and all the corporate sponsors that they have and things we try to do to reverse. You know, it's still the issue of there's too much money in politics, and that's what influence that ALEC brings to the table.
Well, if any of the listeners are in front of a computer, well, obviously they're in front of a computer, some of them, it's alecexposed.org, and that has the most comprehensive information regarding ALEC and why it's important that we pay attention to, and then I'll chime in when you get to that point.
Okay. All right. No problem. I'm going to go ahead on to the next. I got a request here from a listener to basically share a letter with you that they wrote. And I basically decided from that is if there's anybody that's on part of the Facebook family and you have a post or something that you want to have read on the show, or you've created a letter that we can use as an example for to send to Congress to make demands or to make a request, and you want to share that on the air, you can send that to me either via my Facebook page at Jazz Irving or send it to letsspeakonit@gmail.com, and I will put it out there and share with the family. Now, this letter comes to me via, I'll say, third party. So I won't give the individual's name that wrote it because I did get a request from another member via Facebook to read this. And it's titled, Message to Herman Cain. And I quote, it says, the greeting on your website says, we are looking forward to hearing from you. But I'm not sure you will be looking forward to hearing from me, Mr. Cain. I saw on the internet that you called the president a liar. I deplore what you are doing and the things you are saying about the president in order to gain favor with these greedy, thieving, selfish Republicans. How dare you call President Obama a liar? You are a pathetic, obviously brainwashed black man who has lost his way and his mind. You have had opportunity and a smattering of privilege in America that has made you forget your roots. I despise people like you and Clarence Thomas, and you both have Georgia roots. What is it with you black men from the South who grow up in an oppressed environment and end up siding with the oppressor? The recent case of Troy Davis in Georgia is an excellent example of the present oppression of legal lynching still takes in that state and in this country. The political party that you praise so highly is presently enacting laws to suppress the black vote, the student vote, and many elderly voters across this entire country. Yet you choose to stand with people who display such obscene and un-American behavior. You would throw black people, including the President of the United States and others, under the bus to curry favor with these non-caring and hedonistic people. You were there when your Republican cohorts cheered about the death penalty, which disproportionately affects black men and women in this country, some of whom have been proven to be innocent. You should be ashamed to stand with these people, and yet you appear to be proud of such an association. Yes, President Obama does believe in fairness and sharing the responsibility of the tax burden. It is not socialism, nor is it class warfare, and he is not a liar for saying it. That kind of rhetoric from you and those with whom you identify is nothing more than the greed and philosophy that you choose to embrace. You have the unmitigated gall to tell Wolf Blitzer on CNN that two-thirds of African-American people are brainwashed and incapable of thinking for themselves. You are surely touched in the head. The millions of us who are capable of thinking for ourselves, we know who really is brainwashed. You, brainwashed whiter than snow. Do you really think those people with whom you stand on the debate platform really respect you and see you as their equal? They, as well as others, see you as a joke and a person who is engaging in buffoonery. A Republican majority House and Senate would never pass your so-called 999 plan. They would never deem it in their best interest. Besides, there are many who believe your plan is a coded message from Satan. If you flip the numbers, they become the 666 plan. You will never be president of this country, and I thank God for that. I must say, you certainly live up to your last name. You are equally willing to do the same politically and economically to millions of black and middle-class citizens of this country. Such behavior is extremely ugly, and need I remind you, Mr. Kane, that God does not like ugly. P.S. If it wasn't for the fact that I'm having a nice day, I would tell you what I really think about you. Unquote. And that was a very well thought out and defined message that I thought probably conveys the feelings of quite a few of us in regard to Herman Cain and his shenanigans as far as this fake campaign that he's running across the country and being a puppet for the Koch brothers. So if you have any questions or comments, please feel free. Call in number is 646-378-0763. Mitt Romney appears now to be the sure winner of the Republican presidential nomination, considering Cain's self-destruction. The rest of the field is so far. Interruption. It looks like we had a network hiccup. We are back. And Pam, if you will call back in, I will gladly discuss the remainder of the topic of Alec when you come back on. As I was saying, Mitt Romney appears now to be the sure winner of the Republican presidential nomination, considering Cain's self-destruction, and the rest of the field is so far from being a consideration for the nomination at this point. It's highly unlikely that anything will change between now and January when they start the primary process. So we now have to start targeting Mitt and his shortcomings and get that information flowing to the public. For example, he recently stated in Nevada, a state hit hardest with foreclosures, that we should let the foreclosure process take its course and let those that are losing their homes lose them and have investors buy them and rent them out. He also came out in support of Governor Casey in Ohio to do away with unions and collective bargaining with public workers. And that impacts teachers, firefighters, and policemen. His 59-point plan for the economy is nothing more than a bullet list with no depth of thought behind it. And he is responsible for moving jobs overseas via his Bain Corporation. A corporation, by the way, that he's no longer affiliated with. And a corporation that has now donated more money to President Obama than it has to Mitt Romney by almost twice as much. One other thing I wanted to run down is just as a reminder to everyone, as far as Republicans and what they have done since taking control of the House. Since taking control of the House over 200 days ago, the GOP have voted to eliminate 1.9 million jobs via H.R. 1, which is the four-year Continuing Appropriations Act, H.R. 2 to repeal the Health Care Act, and Continuing Resolution 34 budget for 2012 and set the levels for 2013 through 2021. So 1.9 million jobs will be lost based on their votes. They voted to repeal health care reform on behalf of the health insurance industry. For big polluters, Republicans passed a bill to undermine our ability to provide healthier environment for our children, eliminating every tool the EPA has to address serious public health threats, from carbon pollution, including increased childhood asthma. They voted to protect taxpayer subsidies for big oil and speculators driving up gasoline prices, and against gasoline anti-price gouging legislation for consumers. They voted to provide more tax cuts for millionaires and protect tax breaks for corporations shipping jobs overseas. They voted to strengthen the role of special interests in our elections by ending the presidential election fund that promotes small campaign donations and against disclosure of foreign countries, companies, or individuals donating to presidential campaigns. They voted to cripple public radio, particularly in rural areas, while not saving taxpayers one dime. They voted to cut off key federal funding for Planned Parenthood, devastating the primary source of health care, especially preventive services like contraception, cancer screenings, breast exams, and HIV testing for millions of women across the country. And they voted for an unprecedented radical assault on women's health care, for the first time restricting how women with private insurance can spend private dollars in purchasing health insurance. So far, the big signature achievements of this GOP majority was the vote to kill Medicare, but they may soon top themselves if they do not vote to raise the debt ceiling and allow the U.S. to default. And that's coming up pretty soon once again. The House GOP has also democratically proposed job creation bills, including an American Jobs Effort in government reward to ship American jobs overseas, the Build America Bonds to Create Jobs Now Act, leveraging public dollars to strengthen the private sector, growing our economy by rebuilding America's schools, hospitals, and transit projects supported by American businesses, the construction industry, mayors, and governors. The American Jobs Matter Act to give preference in federal contracts to U.S. manufacturers that create jobs here at home. The National Manufacturing Strategy Act, which calls on the president to lay out a plan to help ensure American manufacturers can compete, grow, and thrive. The Advanced Vehicle Manufacturing Technology Act to help ensure cars of the future are built here in the U.S. by investing in a broad range of near-term and long-term vehicle technologies to improve fuel efficiency, support domestic research and manufacturing, and lead to a greater consumer choice of vehicle technology. For Fair Trade Act to provide our government with effective tools to address unfair currency manipulation by countries like China, which could help create 1 million American manufacturing jobs by leveling the international playing field for American workers and businesses. The GOP has passed more bills related to defunding Planned Parenthood, one, than they have passed to create jobs, zero. These are all actions the Republican Congress has taken to thwart the progress of President Obama and keeping millions out of work. Last week, Pat Buchanan and Pat Robertson and Fox News all said the Republican Party has blown it in a big way. And that they have. All right. Pam had talked to me last week about the organization called ALEC. And that is the American Legislative Exchange Council. Now, on the surface, our membership is mostly comprised of thousands of state legislatures, and each pays a nominal membership fee in order to attend ALEC retreats and receive model legislation. ALEC's corporate contributors, on the other hand, pay a king's ransom to gain access to legislators and distribute their corporate-crafted legislation. So here we go. Funding is 81.7% corporate, 17.4% from advertising, 0.6% from investments, and 1.3% from the legislative membership dues. So while the membership appears to be public sector, the bankroll is almost entirely private sector. ALEC claims to be nonpartisan, but in fact it's free market, pro-business. And the result has been a consistent pipeline of special interest legislation being funneled into state capitals. Behind the scenes, ALEC is crafting legislation is done by large corporate defense firm Shook, Hardy, and Bacon, a law firm with strong industry. It has long used ALEC's ability to get a wide swath of state laws enacted to further the interests of its corporate clients. Now, ALEC's campaigns and model legislation have run the gamut of issues, but all have either protected or promoted a corporate revenue stream, often at the expense of consumers. So, for example, ALEC has worked on behalf of oil companies to undermine climate change proponents, pharmaceutical manufacturers arguing that states should be banned from importing prescription drugs, which means that's why they're against drugs coming in from Canada. Telecom firms to block local authorities from offering cheap or free municipally owned broadband. Insurance companies to prevent state insurance commissioners from requiring insurers to meet strengthened accounting and auditing rules. Big banks, here we go again, big banks recommending that seniors be forced to give up their homes via reverse mortgages in order to make the justice industry trying to shut the courthouse door on Americans suffering from mesothelioma and other asbestos-related diseases. And if you remember Enron, it was to deregulate the utility industries, which eventually caused the U.S. to lose what the Securities and Exchange Commission estimated as $5 trillion in market value. ALEC enables corporations to buy laws that favor their interests at the expense of Americans' well-being. ALEC operates by placing thousands of state legislators in closed back rooms with corporate executives. Legislators pay a pittance in membership fees and in return are wined and dined. At the end of their retreats, the legislators go back to his or her capital with legislation passed on by ALEC. Meanwhile, corporations pay tens of thousands of dollars for access to these same retreats and closed back rooms in order to persuade the legislators to introduce and enact their corporate-crafted legislation. It is a process that some have described as ghostwriting law. ALEC is comprised of major corporations that pay a minimum of $5,000 per year just to have a seat at the table. Others pay $50,000 to sponsor an event at ALEC meetings. Now, the relationship between ALEC's public and private sector members is simple and symbiotic. Legislators receive vacations, dinners, prepackaged model legislation that they can take home and introduce in their sessions without the burden of researching and writing, while corporations get access to friendly legislators who are willing to act as corporate handmaidens to ensure that corporate perks keep rolling. Today, ALEC is organized into 10 separate issue task forces to produce model legislation, research, and reports. These task forces include civil justice, commerce, insurance and economic development, education, health and human services, international relations, natural resources, public safety and elections, tax and fiscal policy, and telecommunications and information technology. In each task force, legislators welcome their private sector counterparts to the table as equals, working in unison to solve challenges facing our nation. According to ALEC's 2010 legislative scorecard, 826 pieces of ALEC's legislation were introduced in state houses around the country in 2009, and 115 were enacted into law. ALEC holds 3 legislative task force meetings each year. In addition, the organization also holds its annual meeting in the summer and its state and national policy summer in late November or early December. To make sure that lawmakers attend the conventions, ALEC offers scholarships to defray the cost of attention for public sector members. In one memo, ALEC invited the Tobacco Institute to help raise money for the Legislative Scholarship Fund by offering various sponsorships at a golf course. Public funds to travel to the corporate junkets. Due to the fractured nature of state legislature, of state disclosure regulations and reports, it is impossible to account for all the money taxpayers spend to send their lawmakers to these corporate retreats. Now, while ALEC claims to be nonpartisan, its pro-business, anti-consumer mission is clear from examining the political leanings of its legislator members, the vast majority of which are Republicans. Of the 23 members of the public sector board in 2010, only 3 are Democrats. Of the 72 filled state chairman seats, only 3 are held by Democrats. Now, if you want to know who the corporate sponsors are, you can go to sourcewatch.org. There's a 17-page document that lists all the members of ALEC, corporate members of ALEC, as of July 2011. If you'd like to comment on this subject, call in at 646-378-0763. And I think, I'm hoping this is Pam. How are you doing?
Good. I got cut off, so I had to dial back in.
No, that wasn't your fault. We had a network drop-in connection, and I had to bring it back up.
Okay. I think that you've done a pretty good job summarizing ALEC. And what I'd like to address is just talk about very briefly why it is important to each and every one of us. When you were speaking about the breakout and the makeup of it, the Koch brothers obviously are huge components of it and serve on the quote-unquote board or corporate board, as they call it. Don't forget that ALEC is also a 501(c) nonprofit, so they are not subject to the disclosure laws that if you were a lobbying organization, you'd be held up to. In the report that I looked at, over $3 million has been spent by state legislators on taxpayer dime money to attend these functions. And again, they put together boilerplate bills to pass and get them implemented in the states that have, I will say, Republican-led state houses. And if you think about Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Florida, those state houses were taken back by Republicans in 2010. Mm-hmm. You can believe that they had this up and ready to go, or ginned up, as we say here in Texas. So it is a concerted effort. It is in conjunction with what the Republicans are doing in the House and the Senate. The bills that have, I think, been adversely affected, and again, this is listed on the ALEC Exposed website. Its sister website, as you said, is SourceWatch, I think, .org or .com. But
.org.
Worker and consumer rights, tort reform, privatizing schools and higher education. You wonder why the Republicans are not trying to pay for our public education here in the United States. They want to privatize it and give it to big business. Health, pharmaceuticals, and safety net programs. You spoke to that, Jazz. Mm-hmm. Environment, energy, and agriculture. I think you'd have to be hiding under a rock, so to speak, if you didn't understand what was happening with wanting to get rid of the EPA and some of the other organizations that tie into that. I would say probably the largest one that they've targeted that you spoke to last week, which is the democracy of voter rights and federal power, as they call it. But it's basically redistricting to benefit the Republican reps and state senate, and then implementing these very stringent, strict, I say discriminating, voter ID laws under the auspice of fraud, which most states have come out and said, wait a minute, we don't have much fraud here. And I believe the figure you talked about last week was 5 million that the voter ID total would impact, and that's about what President Obama won by last year.
That was the point that I was trying to make by that last. Yeah. I've stressed it a couple times now, but he won by a 7% margin. That 7% margin was only 5 million votes. Now, I think we have to understand that the percentage of people that actually got out that were eligible to vote, that actually got out to vote, was really, really low. People are not taking advantage of their right to vote. And that's what has to happen now, is we have to get everybody out to vote because of these suppressive laws that the Republicans are trying to put in place now in the states that they control. Again, just saw last night, and it's a Republican who is the state election official, one of the state election officials in the state of Florida. Another yes. teacher that was trying to register her students is basically going to be fined. Now, the fine is probably going to run somewhere around $1,000, and then she'll be admonished from that because this is her first time being charged with this. But what a lot of teachers do in the state of Florida, from what I understand, is they used to have voter registration drives in their classrooms to basically teach their students about the election process, how to go about registering, things like that. Now there's a law on their books that forbids them from doing this. So any teacher that is found in violation of this will be subject to a fine, as well as other, I'll say, punitive actions that can be taken against them. And that's Florida is just one of the states that is doing that. Ohio is another state that's doing that same type thing, where they're trying to outlaw voter registration drives. But it's not just a voter ID issue. Excuse me. It's not just a voter ID issue. It's the reducing the amount of time that individuals have for early voting, because that impacts Democratic voters more so than Republicans. The fact that you had people that had committed felonies, and after so long, they could actually have their voting rights reinstituted. Well, two states, and again, Florida and Ohio, have passed executive orders that basically forbid them from ever getting their voting privileges back. The fact that they are reducing hours, and because of budgetary concerns for these Department of Motor Vehicle and Department of Transportation places to go and get the voter IDs. And in some states, you even have to, because they have to now give you the voter IDs free based on a ruling from the Supreme Court, some states are requiring you to have a birth certificate in order to be able to get the voter ID. So you're going to have to at least pay $15 to get a birth certificate, and then you got to wait for that to come before you can actually go in and vote. So there's all kinds of little ways that they're trying to manipulate the election process to get their message across. And a lot of this, like you said, Pam, a lot of this legislation has basically been boilerplate that they come up with and strategize with at these ALEC meetings, and then basically disperse it across all of the states that Republicans are now in control of. So that's why I also stressed last week that the elections are not the only thing that's important. Your state and local elections are important as well. Those are the ones that impact you more so than anything else. You have to get your state and local legislators in and get back control of those local governments, because the federal election can only do so much. It's your states that can really control your schools, your taxes, your police and firefighters, all those types of issues.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes, yes.
To that point that you just made, I think what the statement you just said is so critical, because what happened is I think Democrats took their eye off the ball after 2008, and all these state houses were enacting this legislation, which was impacting, you know, at the local levels, schools, firemen, you know, education, welfare programs. And you wonder why people are feeling the pinch now, why there's such an outcry, and I'll use Occupy Wall Street as an example, why there's such an outcry of everyone that is, you know, nonpartisan regarding what is happening here. It seems like we turned our head and the rug was pulled out from underneath us. And if we're going to get our rights back, so to speak, we've got to figure out, okay, what is the Democratic strategy? What can we do at the grassroots to help with the voter ID, you know, laws that they're trying to enact or have enacted? What can we do to help vis-a-vis helping people get their birth certificates? They may not know. They may not have transportation to go get their birth certificates. 9 out of 10 times they're downtown. And a lot of people may have to, you know, find transportation to get down there. I'll bet it may not be a large percentage of the population, but I think that's what the Republicans are basing a lot of their strategy on. So what is our, you know, going forward, what is our strategy? What can we do at the state and local levels as progressives and Democrats, along with knowing that, you know, I just saw the Democrats are going to put forth a proposed amendment to Citizens United. You put Citizens United, ALEC, and the House control of Republicans and Tea Partiers, and you have got the economy and, I would say to some extent, the dismal outlook that we are faced with.
No, I agree. And what we have to do is we have to get organized on a national level. And one of the things I'm hoping that we can do, and the Occupy movement is a brilliant movement. And they're going to have a state convention next year in July. I mentioned last week. But one of the things that they are doing is it's almost like when the Tea Party started out, they had these factions in every state. They basically had a set of ground rules as far as what they stood for and what they were going to go after. And that's the same way the Occupy movement has been operating. At least in my opinion, that's what I've seen. If somebody's seen something different, then they can tell me that. But what I'm seeing is they're tired and frustrated with the way things are going in the country, with corporations basically taking over, with the division of wealth that we are seeing in the country. And basically, they are, in my view, mostly aligned with the ideas and principles of the Democratic Party. Now then, because of all the impairment that we're seeing, I'll say in legislation that's being passed and the grandstanding that's going on to do nothing, if we can somehow or another tie the Occupy movement into the Democratic strategy for the reelection of the president and taking back the House, as well as taking back control of the various states, because we're seeing that now also. Matter of fact, I think Ohio votes, I believe, next Tuesday on State Resolution 5, which has to do with the collective bargaining and unions for public employees in those states that Governor Kasich is basically signed to kind of reverse that. So we have to try to tie all of these different organizations together on a national level, and not just Occupy, but we have to get, for example, the National Action Network. We have to get the Urban League. We have to get all these different organizations, as well as legal firms such as the Southern Poverty Law Center, Brenner Center for Justice, can be involved in it as well, because that is one of the things that they do. And basically, we as individuals have to talk to our friends, family, colleagues, whoever, and offer. And, you know, and sometime maybe you're off on a weekend and you got a sporting event or something for one of your kids. Well, maybe you can take two or three people into a facility where they can get registered. The registration you can do online. You can fill out the form online, and then basically print it out and mail it in. The photo ID, as difficult as it may be to get people to some of these organizations, to some of these facilities to get that done, is make sure that they go out and look at the requirements for their state. And granted, some of them are current right now, but there are some that are changing. There's pending legislation right now in a number of states. If they go out and get the IDs now, are there other requirements that may change later on and they have to go back and redo something? That I don't know at the time off the top of my head, and not sure what the legislation is going to demand once it is passed. My guess is they're going to have something up their sleeve to make it difficult after people have already registered. But those are the things we have to do as individuals. We have to talk to people. We have to take time, especially with the elderly and the poor. There's no problem with taking two or three people, four people or whatever, on a Saturday or something to a, you know, motor vehicle transportation facility to get a photo ID, voter ID, so they can be able to vote. If they don't know what they need to do to register to vote, they can go online at a library or whatever, fill out the form, print it out, and mail it in. That's all they have to do. So we've got to start educating people, talking to everybody that we know to get that done. I did have one on the chat room, and basically Ozone, one of the individuals in the room going by the name of Ozone, wanted to know how it was that they were able to, that Alec was able to get all these doggone bills passed back in 2009 when the Democrats basically still had control of the House and the Senate. And I, especially in the states. Now, I said many of them were fairly balanced, especially on the state level. There weren't huge differences in the number of Republicans and Democrats in the majority of states. I'll say there were probably a few that were well unbalanced. But the issue is you have blue dog Democrats who are conservatives in these states. And when you talk about lobbyists lying in people's pockets with money, you know, then that's basically how a lot of this gets done. They're not necessarily concerned with their constituents. They're concerned about themselves. And a lot of politicians do these types of things, which is one of the reasons we need to have reform of our political lives. You know, we can't have career politicians. That has to stop. There has to be term limits, because these people get in office and they stay in office for 20 and 30 years. You know, they talked about the other day on the news, as far as the amount of wealth that's in Congress, there's over, I think, like $2 billion in total net worth of all the congressmen. And the majority of that is controlled by the 50 senior members of Congress. The majority of that wealth is in their pockets. We have congressmen that have net worth of over $300 million. So, you know, why would they vote to raise taxes? Because it's going to impact them. So that's the reason they're not going to do it. And that's the reason we got to continue to push on with reforms like getting money out of politics and push for complete reform of our political process. There's got to be rules put in place to stop a lot of this from happening. If we take back the House and get Democrats back in control of a lot of these state legislatures, I think we can do that. I think you're going to see the Occupy movement make a big move towards that with the convention that they're trying to set up in July of next year, because they're going to have delegates from every state. And I think myself, that's going to be one of their goals, to try to get back control of the government and away from corporations. So hopefully we've shared quite a bit of information with everybody listening, and they can understand and start looking into that. And when you go out and look at that SourceWatch document, it has all the different companies and possibly, you know, maybe boycotting against some of these companies. Now, some of them are going to be multinational. That's another reason we can tie in with the Occupy movement, is basically because if they're international, the Occupy movement is international, and we can impact their dollars all around the world. So that's just like Bank of America. And that's something that can be done. Okay. But the last topic that I really want to talk about tonight, and then if anybody else has something they want to comment on, I'll open it up for that. I had the pleasure the other day of seeing an HBO documentary. And I have to say I sincerely endorse it and think everyone should try to see it if at all possible. It is a highly informative and deeply moving account of an extraordinary individual's life journey, detailing all that he has done and all that he is continuing to do. And the documentary is about Harry Belafonte, and it's titled Sing Your Song. And it is a most intriguing documentary of his life and his travels. It opened my eyes to things that I was never aware of in regard to his life. What I found most interesting was in the civil rights movement of the 60s. He was extremely close to Dr. King and was constantly at his side to help in any way that he could. I was unaware that when the multitude of artists, for example, came together to support the movement, many came at the request of Harry Belafonte. For example, when they were going to do the march in Selma and going across the bridge, and they actually had that march three times. The first two ended very tragically and bloodily, but they all came at the request of Harry Belafonte. And despite themselves being at peril, as in those days, many lost contracts and shows for supporting civil rights or displaying interracial interaction on stage and on screen, and many were blacklisted by the FBI as being communist and things like that. And I'm sure many of you, for example, remember the great song, We Are the World. Well, arranged for every DJ in the world to play the song simultaneously. And I looked at that, I said, that had to be a tremendous feat in and of itself, in my view, for him to be able to organize something like that where the song was played around the world at the exact same moment. Just unbelievable. Some other interesting facts I found fascinating was that before traveling to Africa, he had no desire to ever go to Africa because his view of Africa had been what he had been exposed to on television and in movies, for example, Tarzan and the Apes, or the many stereotypical cartoons of savages in the jungles. But once he made the visit, it changed his perception entirely, and he got involved in a program with Eleanor Roosevelt to help educate the people considered leaders of Kenya. So they sponsored a program to bring approximately 80 Kenyans to the United States to educate them in some of the best schools in the country on the agreement that they had to return to Kenya to share what they learned and to contribute to developing a democratic government in Kenya. What really stunned me was one of the Kenyans in that first group of students to come to the United States was Barack Obama Sr. That's not, you know, that's an amazing thing that we don't know and we are unaware of the impact that it can have in the future and on our lives. Had it not been for that program, President Barack Obama may never have existed. Everything happens for a reason. There are no accidents, as far as I'm concerned. And just so that everybody knows, again, the name of it is Sing Your Song. It's playing on HBO all this month. If you get a chance to see it, I tell you, you must check it out. You must see this documentary. Very impressive. Also, it's come to attention, and a couple of people have talked about it out on Facebook. In a new book by Washington Post writer Eli Saslow, that's coming out about President Obama, during one of the interviews with the author, the president let it slip that he reads 10 letters a day from people around the country. And for some who are suffering through hard times and difficulties, he actually writes out personal checks to help needy families in America with mortgage payments and medical bills. In my view, he is the president that is compassionate and looking out for his fellow man. He is walking the talk of I am my brother's keeper. And he definitely deserves all of our support, ride or die, to keep him in that house. So we need to do everything within our powers to do what it takes to turn out the vote, to keep him in office and get the power back to him from Congress, to do the things that he needs to do to turn this country around with a second term. Again, we have to fight back against this voter suppression on all fronts. And based on what Republicans are trying to do in this country, I believe there will be one woman in this country willing to vote for a Republican that's trying to basically do it power to reverse the effects of Roe v. Wade and tell a woman what she can and cannot do with her own body. Why would you vote for somebody that wants to take control over you in such a manner? This weekend, for those that are going to be in D.C., and I know it's happening in other surrounding cities, the Occupy movement is going to have a march. Particularly in the cities around the country, they're going to be marching on the different banks. I know they're going to be marching on Bank of America, and they're going to be marching on Citibank. In Washington, D.C., they're going to be holding a rally at a location that the Koch brothers will be hosting a meeting. So if you can turn out and be at that location, and I believe it's on Saturday, I will post the information out on Facebook for those of you that are out on Facebook. And I'll text message for those that aren't, for those that I have anyway, to let you know of that location. The more that we can turn out to bear, the better. Send the message to the Koch brothers that we're fed up with it. We are part of that 99%. We are the 99%. And they've got to go. they will no longer own our government. We have to send that message. So as we come to a close, I want to remind everyone that we have a call to action. And that call to action is basically reach one, teach one, talk to each other, voter registration drives now. And if you don't, if you live in one of the states where it's illegal, well, hey, take two or three at a time, get them done, send it in on their own. My understanding is they picked up all of the registration slips from all the students that they had and sent them in a bundle versus them sending them in individually. There's ways that we can work around it, just like the Republicans have worked around so many things for so long. I encourage you to join one of the Facebook groups, and there's plenty that are out there. Take Back the House in 2012 is the main group that I'm affiliated with out on Facebook. We're up to about 1,400 members right now and still growing, and we need as many people as we can get across the country so that we can start spreading our strategy and actions across the country to get the president reelected. There's the reality of Rick Perry's Texas, Together in Ocean, Veterans for Obama, Veterans Against Rick Perry, Republicans for Obama. You can also go out on the White House Facebook page. There's Progressive Action to Remove Republicans in 2012. And there's MoveOn.org, which is a nationwide organization. So I encourage you to join one of those groups. Other shows that you want to check out on Blog Talk Radio, DJ Padron on Mondays from 7 to 9 for a hip-hop experience. DJ Mr. E on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 in the Jazz and Soul Cafe. Mina Holiday, Sunday, 7 p.m. for spoken word poetry. And DJ Charles, Saturday at 8 p.m. for International House Music. Again, I'm your host, and I hope we've shared some information that has enlightened you and that you will act on. And I hope to see you and hear from you next week. Until then, have a good one, my friends.
Now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classics. Never thinking he heard me this way.